Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show Uplifting Communities with John and Ms. J.
Hey.
And I'm going to tell you guys, yo, we got a show for you guys today. Okay, so get ready. Because we have a show for you guys today. But before I go any further, I'm going to ask Ms. J if she don't mind taking the pleasure of bringing our special guest on today.
Absolutely. Today we have Coach D. She is a health and life empowerment coach. And what I really loved about this is that a lot of times we're, especially women, we'll take care of everyone in our household, but we don't take care of ourselves. So when I read this information about her, I was just so excited to have her on the show. And so I'm going to stop talking about her, let her tell you a little bit about her. And she's also going to tell you a little bit of information that she thinks is really important. And from there, we're going to jump in with our questions. So, Coach D, tell them a little bit about you.
Hello, hello, hello. Hey, thank you so much, Jay and John. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you and your listeners today. So I'm a certified health coach and a life empowerment coach, as you said. I started my journey about a year ago where I was overweight, addicted to sugar, didn't know, you know, was constantly on that weight loss roller coaster of trying to lose weight and feel better and love myself and never could really get the mark. So I embarked on this journey of becoming a health coach, not really knowing all the transformations that would take place in my life personally. But the reason I wanted to do it is because I wanted a career that would allow me to do what I love and help me to be my authentic self. So I looked for that, and I found the Health Coach Institute and embarked on the journey to become a health coach because I love to serve. I love to help people, and I thought if I could get paid to do what I love, then I'll never work another day in my life, right?
Right.
So that was my focus. But everything I learned as in my schooling, I applied to myself. I have health coaches that support and help me. I have a life coach. I have a success coach. So I have coaches. So not only am I a coach, but I do also believe in the value of coaches. And within a year's time, I'm down. I've had my total body transformation. I have a body that I haven't had since I was in my 20s. And I'm pretty excited about that. But I really am excited about how I feel every day and what's going on in my mind and not having that foggy brain. You know, when you're eating all the wrong foods and not having energy and constantly fatigued, the quality of life and the quality of the version of the person that you give your family is a lot less than when you're healthy, your body is functioning at the highest capacity, and you're feeling nourished in all the five areas of life that I'm going to talk about today that is necessary. The nourishment is more than food. And so when you're feeling nourished in all these different areas and all that comes together, where you just said about women not wanting to take the time to take care of themselves and take care of everyone else, the sacrifice that we make, actually, we're actually disservicing our family, because what we give them when we don't take care of ourselves is a lesser version of ourselves. But when we take the time to actually take care of ourselves, mind, body, and spirit, we give them a higher quality of ourselves. And that's what, that's my passion and my drive and the work that I do with my clients.
So when you talk about nurturing all those factors, let's just start with one at a time. Let's start with your mind, because I believe if your mind is not in agreement, your body is not going to be in agreement. But then if you're, but you know what, understand what I'm saying? But then when you talk about the soul, for me, the soul controls it all. So if that is in attack, everything is out of whack. Is that pretty much what you're saying?
Yeah, we're chronically undernourished, and the mind is a very broad base of it, but we can actually we can narrow it down to five specific areas, and those specific areas are relationships, our environment, connections, which is really that spiritual aspect, connections, sleep, and movement. So all those things encompasses areas of our life that need nourishment and attention. So relationship, our relationships, if we are in unhealthy relationships, whether it be friends or romantic relationships that are unhealthy and not serving us, that is an area of life that if you are undernourished or neglected in that area, that need, that craving for love will create a physical craving or addiction to sugar. So they're very related. Like you, your body will create a physical craving when there's an emotional need, because it knows that it's going to get that good feeling. So what your body wants is that good feel, those serotonins, those good feeling hormones to be released. So if you're not going to give it the attention in the areas of your relationship, then it's going to say, hey, give me more chocolate, give me more sugar. I'm getting that feeling. That's what it wants, but it really isn't craving the chocolate. It's craving what you're not paying, what's under expressed or being neglected in that area. So that's how that breaks down. So your environment. So basically, think about. So that's your relationship. So that will drain you of energy. So think about it. If you're in a bad relationship or you're not being nourished emotionally, that drains you. And what does your body do? Hey, I need sugar. I need energy. Then you're craving something sweet. See how that works? So that's one way that when I'm working with my clients, I help them not to only focus on the physical nourishment, the food aspect. We'll get the food. We'll get the right foods that give you the energy. And when I do my work with my clients, I'm not putting them on a diet. I am actually taking what their body needs, whether it be more protein, more healthy fats, more fiber, that what their body responds to best. And then we design something very specific to their body's needs so that they're now eating the foods that give them energy instead of take away energy. So,
let me ask you a question.
Other, well, go ahead. Go ahead, John.
Diana. Okay, I was reading, I forgot the name of the author. Okay, but when you was talking about eating and your body get energy, I was reading this book and it said one night, it'd been maybe about 5-6 years ago, and it was talking about eating accordingly to your blood type. What you think about that?
Yeah, that is called the blood. There are hundreds of dietary theories. The blood type dietary theory is one where they say if you're O type, B type, they're linking it to basically how certain blood types can either eat, like certain people who are go to a vegetarian or vegan type diet. Certain people can do it and do very well, and certain people can do it and get sickly and look gray and look bad because they're linking that to their blood type not needing protein based on certain blood types. So, yeah, there's so many. And so what the approach I take with different dietary theories is that there's no one absolute way, but there's value in each. Right, so there's a value in so many of these different dietary theories, but there's not one that is going to be a perfect fit for everyone.
That's
right,
so
that's why it's so important to customize and work with individuals based on their specific needs and learning how they respond to food. One of my clients who did my 14-day reset cleanse, She had all her weight was in her belly, and her before and afters are posted on my page. She loved salad. She ate healthy food at times. But when we finished our work together, she found that peppers and tomatoes bloated her so much that she eliminated that from her diet. And prior to us working together, she was long years on acid reflux medication that she was able to eliminate just by recognizing which foods, even if they're healthy, do not respond well to her body. So that's the kind of thing that some people will be eating healthy foods and wondering why they're not gaining, losing weight. Well, oftentimes it may be those foods are causing inflammation and certain reactions within the body that allows the body, that creates the body to hold on to weight rather than lose the weight. So that's something that a lot of people don't know, that I'm so glad to enlighten them in through my coaching program.
I didn't know that either. Sitting here with my mouth open, think I need to call you when the show over, because I think I'm as healthy. But seriously, I ain't joking. I got your number. Yeah, because
Yeah, so that's one thing. I'll give you myself for an example. Prior to eating clean and changing my lifestyle, I love bread. Love bread. I would go to our favorite place, Italian restaurant that serves breadsticks, and I would eat those breadsticks. But then every time I got sick, and you know what our nature is, we don't look at the food as making us sick. We're thinking somebody's hands wasn't clean, something wrong with the food, the utensils. I was blaming everything and everybody, but not looking at the fact of the food was the issue. So when I did my reset cleanse and I started reintroducing bread, the first time I ate it, I got sick for a whole week, and I got suspicious. And this is the kind of work I do with my clients to help them identify food sensitivities and allergies that most doctors, what will happen is you can go to the doctor and get an allergy test that's environmental, but in the USA, most doctors do not do food allergy tests, because it's very lengthy and all-encompassing. I've heard in Canada and other countries they do it, but here in our country, that's not their go-to, we'll say that, because it's very expensive and most insurance companies don't cover it. But with working with a health coach to really take the time to go food by food, category by category, bread, dairy, cheese, milk, wheat, you know, you go by and then you really experiment with your body, because understand, your body is the best indicator, the best experimental lab there is. If you learn to become in tune and pay attention to what food does, you can really diagnose and not diagnose, but really tell what food is doing to you. So for me, I got sick for that week. I was in denial. Okay, it was something. Then I tried wheat bread and honey and peanut butter. That's healthy, right? Wheat bread, honey, peanut butter. Got sick again. Then I said, okay, I had some pita. That was the worst feeling I ever. And then I knew I can't do wheat. I can't do gluten. I avoided those foods like the plague, and I don't have those issues anymore, those digestive issues that I was suffering. So what happened, what had to happen in my process, my brain had to have a relationship with my body to say, while in my mind, I love bread, still love bread, but my body does not love bread. So we had to come together. So when we came together, when my body came together with my brain, now we're on the same page. So I understand that if I respect my body and give it what it needs, it's going to serve me and give me the energy and the health that I want, and that's important. And that's different for everybody. So that's why diets, so many people, the diet mentality does not work, because it's based on deprivation, and you can only deprive yourself for a certain amount of time, right? And then when you're done with whatever diet or whatever smoothie or whatever thing you're doing, you're going right back to those foods. So what I do that's different is not only do I transform those eating habits, but then I go under the behavior. We address the behaviors and the other areas of life that need nourishment so that you're not going back to those eating habits. And that's where the life coaching comes in. So we get the health with the nutritional part and then the coaching around what areas of life need attention so that you learn how to cope with stress and different areas in anxieties and stress and cope with life in such a way where now your relationship with food changes, because food is nourishment. But for most people, and for me before my transformation, food was medicine. Food is what I ate when I was bored. Food was what I ate when I was lonely. Food was what I ate when I was depressed. Food was what I ate when... So food had an emotional connection. You see what I'm saying? Now I don't have that connection with food. I just know it's going to nourish me. I could literally eat the same thing every day and not be bothered with it because it's nourishing my body. I'm not looking for food to give me anything that I should be getting in my relationships and other areas of life that need to be attention.
That's deep right there.
Right.
I think that's for men and women both. I think that don't
right.
you think that
Absolutely.
Affects John men too, same way?
Mm-hmm.
Was that?
Yeah. I have a male client. I have male clients, and they actually do the best on my program. It's so funny. They're a little hesitant at first, but when they sign on, one of my clients, he lost about 15 pounds in 2 weeks. I mean, he just went and he did everything I said. They take the emotion out of it and just boom, 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 boom. And I said, wow, great. I wish women, we could have the same results. Men and women never have the same results, but men do. And it takes a little, you know, more for them to really see the connection that they're having. You know, he has a high position on a ship, and he chronically ate fast. So that's something else that I address. Because sometimes you could be eating all the healthy foods, all the right foods, but how you eat is just as important as what you eat. And I'll tell you what that means. Often because of our stressed life, we will sit down to a meal and have stress, have frustration, have all these emotions going on in our bodies. And what we don't do before we eat is digest our emotions. So by not digesting your emotions, when you go to eat that meal, your body has a sympathetic and a sympathetic nervous system. And when your body is stressed, it turns off digestion. So that means that you could be eating the most healthiest food, but it is not going to digest and assimilate the nutrients from that healthy food if you are in a stressed state. So one of the things that I do, it turns because this is the principle. This is how we know. This is the theory behind the body doing that. Because if, say, for instance, you just ate a sandwich and you're walking down the street and a big, big pit bull starts running after you, right? Well, you're running. What do you need in that moment? Do you need your body to digest that sandwich you eat, or do you need that blood flow to go to your legs, your arm, your brain, your heart to get you
legs,
running down the street?
Legs. Yeah.
Right?
Right. Get them legs. Yeah.
Exactly. So but your body does not know the difference between you being chased by a bear or a dog and being stressed from work. It just knows it's stressed.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Your body doesn't know this is not a serious life-threatening stress. No, it just knows, okay, we're stressed, shut down digestion, blood flow to arms, legs, heart, brain, so you can think. So in one of my sessions in my 90-day program, what we do is learn how to breathe and learn how to digest your emotions before you sit down and eat. A good meal, because if you eat I know for me personally, I was a fast eater. I mean, like, you could sit down a meal before me, and by the time you sat down and got your plate, my food was almost gone. And slowing down your eating, slowing down your breathing, digesting your emotion. I tell my clients to do an emotional check. Before you sit down, think about how you're feeling. Get your body into a relaxed state, because once your body relaxes, now it's digesting food. Now it's assimilating nutrients instead of storing fat. Because if you're in that tense, stressed state, is not going to do what it should do, what we think it's doing. You know, so you're eating that food and it's just storing fat, and you're rushing that meal down. You're, you know, doing lunch and multitasking. You're rushing that meal, and then you don't get satiated. if your body does not feel it has had a complete meal, meaning you ate it so fast that it didn't enjoy the senses, all your senses have to be engaged. Did you smell your meal? Did you look at the colors of your on your plate? Did you taste the meal? See, now you have your senses engaged. So if you smell it, you look at it, you taste it, you really savor it. Once you did you chew enough? I do a chewing exercise in my 90-day program where you should actually, how often, I would ask you both Jackie and John, how many times do you think is average that people actually chew their food on average? How many chews do you think before you swallow?
Well, let's. It all depends, won't it? Let's say if it's a steak, you have to chew a little longer. And if it's rice, well, you don't have to chew that longer. But I would say
that's a good answer.
You know, but on a steak, on an average, I don't know. I know for a fact that I don't chew mine long enough. You know, I know that for a fact.
Yeah, so I'm going to go participate. I was going to let John give a smooth answer and kind of back out. Yeah, I'm like that owl on the Tissy Roll commercial. One, two, three, lick.
Gone. And that, you know what, that is the right answer because most people chew 3 to 4 times before swallowing. But what happens when we chew our food properly, anywhere from 20 to 30 times, that takes a lot.
Ooh,
we do an exercise through our food, right? But when we do that, what we're doing is taking the saliva has a lot to do with your digestive enzymes and activating that. So the more saliva and the more you chew your food, you're helping your digestive system process that food that you are about to swallow down. And it breaks down a lot easier and quicker when it combines with the saliva and it's properly chewed. So that's one of the things in my 90-day program, because you said, whoa, that's a lot. You have to learn that. These are learned skills, because we're talking about lifestyle changes, so that when this time next year you don't – this is one thing that I do want to share is I want you guys to guess this one, if you could, for me. What percentage of people do you think lose weight and then within 6 months gain it all back? If you had to guess, what percentage would you give it?
I'll say 90.
Yeah, that's a great guess, Jay. Yes, great, Jeff. The answer is 98. 98% of people lose weight and gain it back within 6 months.
Wow.
And that is, think about that. That's like 2% of people actually lose it and keep it off. Oftentimes it's because they haven't learned to change, address the, because there's habits, there's behaviors, there's lifestyle. What we do is we look at our bodies, we hate it, we want to change it, so we start, okay, I'm going to be healthy now. Well, that's a lifestyle change that you haven't addressed the behaviors and the habits to create. So we jump from A to Z. Okay, I'm going to start eating healthy and eating salad next week, and then about a month or a couple weeks down the road, we're back to, you know, square one because it's too taxing, too hard, right? But if you first start with the habits, and that's what I do as a life coach. It helps you to establish healthier habits one step at a time. Then you address the you create habits that now create healthy behaviors that now feed into a healthier lifestyle. And the people that do it in those order fall into the 2%. And that's where I get my clients into that 2% of people who actually lose weight and keep it off.
That's I was just guessing. Your number is higher than a number. You know, you see all these Jenny Craig commercials and Weight Watchers. Everybody's doing it because Oprah's doing it. You know, and I know that some the programs work. I'm not saying they don't work, but if you don't change, like you said, the undercurrent behavior that led you there, even those programs are not successful.
Exactly. So most of those programs have value. They do work for a time. That's why people do lose weight. But by 6 months down the road, you've gained it all back. I know that happened to me so many times. And it wasn't until a couple of months ago that when I say this to clients, and I realized, it dawned on me, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm a 2%er. Like, it's been a year since I started my transformation, and I'm still losing weight. I'm not gaining weight. And so that really, like, I had to step back and appreciate my space and where I was, because that's something that we don't do for ourselves, is appreciate or allow ourselves to acknowledge anything good we do. And I took that time to say, wow, I'm a 2%. I'm in the 2% and not in the 98. That was huge mental shift for me, because I was used to being in that 98% where I lose, gain, lose, gain, lose, gain. And that's why I'm so passionate about my programs and the work I do with my clients, to get them not only to lose weight, because I think it's not about losing weight for now. I think it's, I want you for a year from now to look back and know that working with me was the best decision, because you still have not gained that weight back and you're still losing that weight.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me intervene for 1 second. I want to let the audience know, if you want to ask a question or elaborate on something, please press 1 and I'll let you in, okay? And I wanted to ask our special guest, Ms. Diana, a question too. Ms. Diana, you got quite a few people listening in right now, and I'm quite sure that a lot of them might have maybe high blood pressure, maybe it might be a diabetic, or maybe going on something else, you know, heart failure or whatever. Can eating right help that? Help that symptoms or situation?
Oh my, yes, absolutely. Those are lifestyle diseases, meaning you change the lifestyle, you can almost reverse the disease. In most cases, you know, of course, under doctor supervision, you know, you would stop medication. I don't ever stretch out to say, you know, stop anything. But under your doctor's supervision, when your numbers start going down, and they start balancing out, they will, you know, one of my clients had her doctor reducing her cholesterol medication because her numbers were better, her sugar levels were better. So then there's no need, you know, then that's between the client and the doctor. But absolutely, and it starts in your gut. Gut health is so important. People are suffering chronically from all kind of digestive issues, and most of our diseases start in our gut. And because processed foods and unhealthy foods really destroy that good bacteria in our gut that helps process and fight disease and everything. And so once you start changing that lifestyle, sugar, oh, my gosh, I have a whole hour on sugar. I won't share. But the thing about sugar, Let me tell you how amazing the body is when it comes to diabetes and high blood pressure and what's happening. When we eat sugar, sugar is not naturally digestible. Now, because it's processed. It's not the way – I mean, if you eat a sugar cane, your body can process that. If you eat agave sweet honey, your body knows how to process and what to do with those natural sugars from fruit and other things. But processed sugar, in the many forms it comes in, the body doesn't know what to do with. So what happens when when sugar enters the body, it's almost like it's very acidic, and it acts like an acid. You know when you put acid on something and it sears holes in it? It just goes right through. So imagine all the sugar traveling through your body, and it's searing holes in your blood vessels, your stomach lining, and in your tissue. And what happens when those little holes happen? Your liver, which is responsible for excreting cholesterol, which is, it's serving you. It's, your body is doing what it's supposed to do, which is, if there's holes or there's small leaks in your body, it sends out this cholesterol to plug those holes. So that's why you'll see someone who is skinny on the outside but has high blood pressure or high cholesterol, because their sugar intake, because your body, your liver is overworking, and that's what they call non-alcoholic fatty liver. Your liver is constantly pumping out cholesterol because of it's trying to repair the damage that sugar is creating in your body.
Wow.
So, yes. Yes. So, but we're addicted to sugar. So that is a whole another, you know, process of helping people to get off the sugar addiction.
And that's
sugar. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jay.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but my cousin just told me yesterday that he went to the doctor and they told him he had a fatty liver. And Jamal is skinnier than a toothpick.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, cuz, I think I'm dying. I said, no, you didn't change your diet.
There you go. There you go.
And he is, and you would never think nothing's wrong with him if you looked at him from the outside. But I like you made that point, because your physical appearance does not necessarily dictate that you're healthy. And a lot of people get that confused because they're skinny or, you know, I ain't never gained no weight. But that has nothing to do with the internal health itself.
Exactly. Absolutely. And that non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, that creating that all that cholesterol, I believe, and then just the way the this thing about diet, so aspartame, oh my gosh, you know, a lot of the sugar companies fund the diabetes associations and stuff, but aspartame, sucralose, the sugar has, they have at least 30 ways of labeling sugar on foods. So here we go again. You're eating a healthy salad. You put on some salad dressing. Look at the ingredients. There's sugar in your salad dressing. So, you know, you're trying to eat healthy, but one of the biggest key things to transforming your health and your life, your eating, is learning how to read the labels. I'm going to tell y'all, most people look at the numbers, you know, okay, how many sugars, how much fat, how many, you know, calories, and totally ignore what is in the actual food that you're about to consume. So what I do, because what I teach my clients to do is not only read the labels, but to learn how to go to the label, go to the foods that have the least number of ingredients in it. And one of the things is, if you read it and it's a word that you can't pronounce that is in the food, in the ingredient label, then understand that's going in your body. That's a chemical, that's a something, a preservative that is going into your body. And when you think about preservatives, preserving food, wonder why our blood vessels, our heart, our veins are getting hardened, because you got a bunch of preservatives in there that's designed to preserve, to keep things hard, right? So we're putting all these chemicals and things in our bodies that they're putting in the food that has this adverse effects in our body. So learning to read your labels. I still enjoy ice cream, but what I have is ice cream, or I'll use a bag of chips is better. I'll still from time to time enjoy some chips, but the chips I eat have three ingredients: potatoes, olive oil or avocado oil, and sea salt. That's it. I know what all three of those things are, and I know my body can digest those things. If you read another bag, you know, another bag of chips, and it has, you know, a long list of ingredients, most of which you can't pronounce or know what it is, then that's where you need, that's where the decision needs to change, what you're choosing when it comes to your snacks. So I don't do deprivation. I just show you how to get high quality of what you already enjoy. And that way, that's more sustainable, right? I don't say, oh, you can never eat sugar, you can never eat bread, or you can never eat chips or anything. No, no. Let's learn how to eat it. Let's learn where to get it from, so that when you do eat it, it's not destroying your body.
Now, you talk about the eating and food choices. Now, for a lot of people, I'm sure listening, and me, myself, I don't usually worry about a lot about prices, but when you talk about food and eating healthy, a lot of people believe it's a disillusion that you cannot eat healthy on a limited budget. And I want to say that because you can. Now, I guess it depends on where you live, too, because there are some inner city neighborhoods where the people have to go far from the store. But then they should demand that person that they in their neighborhood to bring fresh fruit in there, vegetables, if you want my business. You know, you got to. We got to learn how to ask for what we need.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point, Jay. And one of the things that is common, because the amount of food that you need when you are eating processed or unhealthy food is a lot greater than the amount of food that you need when it's quality and healthy. So someone will look at my plate and like, oh, man, that's all you're eating? And I'm full because the quality of the food that I'm eating is going to sustain me longer and better than a big old plate of something else. So if you're trying to match portion to portion, it is a lot more expensive if you need a huge, if you look at your portion of what you're eating versus a quality plate. But what you have to understand, or what you'll come to understand as you start taking small steps in healthy eating, is that you don't need as much. So, yes, I might pay $5 for a bag of chips, but I don't eat the whole bag of chips in one setting because I'm not looking for that chip to do anything for me emotionally. I'm just eating it because I'm enjoying a couple. I mean, it may last me 2-3 weeks because I'm just getting a whole couple at a time. Now, before, you know, we can definitely, if we're eating, sitting there eating, watching a movie, you can go through a bag of chips no time. Of course, I don't want to spend $5 on something I'm going to eat like that, right? But if the quality is better, you enjoy it longer. And what I usually do with my clients is I show them how to get the staple items. So don't go out and go shopping, health food shopping, spend $300 and look at your grocery basket and like, I didn't get half the food I would have got, you know, spending at, you know, at another store. Well, the most important thing is to start slow. You don't want to change everything. You want to start with staple items and start replacing them one by one. And then you start acquiring. But, yes, healthy foods and going to healthy markets and buying fresh is easy, and you have to buy more often. So we want the convenience of going shopping and having groceries for 2 weeks. Well, that's not going to happen if you go get fresh fruit and veggies, right? You're going to have to go a little more often. It may last you 5 days, and then you got to go back. So you got to be prepared in that way to kind of stretch your budget. Instead of spending, you know, $200 at one time, you might spend, you know, $50 to $75 this time, and then, you know, a couple, you know, 5 days or 6 days later, you're back at it. It's the same money, but you have to go and invest it, you know, and keep things fresh. And that's one way of doing it. But I do work with my clients on showing them how healthy can be affordable. But we have to do it right, because we'll hear some good information and then we'll try to go do it, and we'll do it too much and we go in overkill, and then you feel that sting at the cash register where you don't have enough for 2 weeks and you just spent $300 and you're not going to do that again. Your brain will say, uh-uh, we can't do health because it don't work for us, because you just overexhausted your budget and you don't have everything you need. Now you're worried about how you're going to make this food stretch. But that's not the right approach. So there's a better approach to make it healthy, affordable.
Now, I want to ask you another question. How do you control this? Now, I'm guilty of this myself. Now, when a person sits down at the dinner table or at the restaurant, at Panda Express or whatever you want to call it, all right, we're trying to get our stomach full.
Mm-hmm.
You see, not thinking nutrition.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, you can get off the table and grab your stomach and say, "Ooh, man, that was good," and rub it. You know, that's what, you know, I mean, how can you get away from that?
For being greedy?
Yeah. That's a great question, John. Well, in one of my sessions in my 90-day program, we go over hunger, honoring our hunger and fullness. So that's one of the things that I coach on, is learning how to do two things. There's two sides of that. There is not allowing yourself to get extremely starving, crazy, hungry, right? And the other side of that is not getting stuffed, open your pants, can't breathe, full. There's a number, a perfect, so I use a scale of 1 to 10, 1 to 10 for each side, 1 to 10 for hunger, 1 to 10 for fullness. You don't ever want to be a 10 or 8 or 9 on that scale. You want to average on your fullness around a 6 or a 7, and that means you're satisfied, you're not hungry, and what I teach my clients to do is what steps to do then. Because if you are not, if you're satisfied and you're not, you're full, you will continue to eat if there's still food on the table. So there is mentally, there, your mind needs to see, you have to do something physically, meaning you might say, waiter, can you box the rest of my food up? Or you might start off your meal with getting a box early. You need to do something, because a lot of us don't like to waste food, right? So it's like, if it's in front of me, I got to eat it. I can't throw it away. All right. Well, if that's the case, plan ahead of time to box it up once you are satisfied. Put your fork down, or you might put a napkin over your plate. Your mind has to know, oh, this meal is completed. Drinking water. Water intake is something that I really want to touch on because it is so essential to weight loss. We are, as a people, as a nation, chronically dehydrated. We don't get near enough water that we need. And then quality of water, that's a whole other thing. But your body needs, this is to get your perfect, I've done different theories, and what I have found, the one that works best for me that I use and use with my clients, is to get the amount of water that your specific body needs, you take your weight and multiply it by 0.67, and that gives you your number of how much ounces of water is needed daily. So understand that once you get your number that we probably fall so short, that means that the water that you're drinking isn't even meeting your daily requirement. So you think if you're sweating, if you're hot, if you're exercising, you're losing water. And you're
right.
Not even replenishing what you're losing because you're not even getting what you need. Right? So that's why we find ourselves in a chronic. But once you get your body that water, because now your organs are cushioned, your blood flow is flowing better, your water allows your body to function so much better. When you can decrease anxiety, you can decrease depression, you can create all of those things by being dehydrated. Some people are depressed because they're really dehydrated and undernourished, you know, on top of stresses of life and everything else. But your body's response, your body cannot process and handle that stress because it doesn't have the nourishment or the hydration needed to deal with outside elements and stressors that we deal with every day.
Right.
So water is so important.
Okay.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
That's powerful. No, I'm just saying that's powerful because I didn't look at water like that.
Mm-hmm.
I got
yes.
8 glasses of water, I was good. And so I'm probably dehydrated, and I know I'm stressed. So, Lord,
yep.
I got to work on some stuff. This is why
yes.
I really want to share. There's a lot of things we think we know, we don't really know.
Yep. And what I do with my clients is I don't get that number because my number is 130 ounces a day, but don't get that number and say, oh my gosh, I got it. No, start slow. So if you're already drinking 8 ounces of water, 8 bottles of water, Jay, I would just tell you to increase that by 1 bottle this week. Start slow, because that way what happens is we think, oh, I got to drink a gallon of water, and then you're trying to drink a gallon of water, and then you go in the bathroom every 5 minutes. You can't hardly function and work because you're always in the bathroom, and that's not sustainable, right? Nobody wants to do that. It doesn't feel comfortable. It's like it's taxing. But if you start slow and you say, okay, this week I'm going to drink 9 bottles if I'm already drinking. If you're only drinking 2, drink 3. Increase it slowly, your body can start processing and getting used to the increased water, and then you increase it another. So this is a number you want to work up to. That way it's sustainable, your body's adjusting to it, and then it's not going to be such a taxing thing on you.
Well, you shared a lot of great information. I know we got 2 minutes left.
But we only got like a minute and 15 seconds. Left
right.
on the top. Okay, it flew. So I'm going to ask Ms. J to start closing this out.
Absolutely.
No problem.
Well, first of all, Coach D, thank you for joining us. You shared a lot of information. Usually me and John are cracking jokes and talking. We were both listening and taking notes today. So we really do appreciate it, and I hope it helps someone that was listening today too. But if you had one positive thing to say before we rush off of here, what would that be?
I would say that nourish to flourish. If you want change, if you want to impact your health, your life, your body, nourish to flourish.
Absolutely. And Mr. John L. Brown.
Thanks a lot, Coach D, for coming on the talk show. I've learned so much. And like Ms. J said, I'm quite sure the audience learned a lot too. Okay, and thank you so much, okay? So back to you, Ms. J.
Well, we thank everybody for joining us, and we thank you for always supporting us. Have a blessed week. Peace and blessings. And together we'll make a difference. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks.